Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, director of the center, and I'm here today with two special guests. So excited to have you both here today. One of our guests is Chris Bentley. She is Director of Technical Assistance for the Center for Inclusive Childcare. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
And also Lori Posine, who is the Policy Specialist with the Child Care Assistance Program at the Minnesota Department of Human Services. Welcome, Lori.
Glad to be here.
So you two are here today to help us sort of sort through and talk about the Child Care Assistance Program and the special needs rate in Minnesota. So our audience today will probably be people who are in Minnesota, but we really want to talk about this and sort through it and also refer people back to our website, www.inclusivechildcare.org, which now has an info module also on the Child Care Subsidy, or Child Care Assistance Program, the subsidy, the special needs rate. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Great. So why don't we start out with probably the most basic question of all, and that is, what is the Child Care Assistance Program special needs rate?
All right. The Child Care Assistance Program special needs rate allows a higher rate to be paid for children with special needs if the child requires a higher level of care due to physical, behavioral, or medical disability.
Okay, perfect. And now we can probably use the acronym CCAP for that Child Care Assistance Program, so people understand what we're saying. And so that higher rate, can you explain what the two different categories are for the special needs rate?
Yeah, there are two different categories under the special needs rate in the CCAP program. The first category of special needs rates are considered for individual children served by any provider serving CCAP children.
Oh, let me ask you now, when you say provider, who are you talking about?
The child care provider.
Okay. Perfect.
The child care provider can request a higher rate for an individual child who has been diagnosed with a special need if the provider or program offers specialized, individualized services designed to meet the child's need. So that's the one category that would be looked at. The other category of a rate differential is the at-risk rates. These are intended to cover costs of specialized services to certain populations. These rates are approved for an entire program or classroom within a program. The at-risk categories and rates are determined by the authorizing county, and the provider must demonstrate that a significant number of children served meet the at-risk definition and that specialized services are provided. A common example would be the at-risk rates paid to programs serving teen parents.
Okay, great. So when you talk about rates, who are these rates intended for?
The CCAP special needs rate is available for children with special needs in Minnesota who receive child care assistance and meet the designated criteria. Individual rate adjustments address the needs of the child and support the child care provider in caring for a child with special needs. And these rates are intended to support specialized training or services or environmental adaptations provided to meet the individual needs of a child. And the key to this, too, is that this is intended for expenses that are above and beyond what typically is provided in the program. So not every child with special needs is going to need to have an individualized rate, but this is really when children are requiring increased need above and beyond what the provider would typically provide.
So is there some way that a child care provider could help, could get assistance in determining maybe what some of those adaptations might be or what some of that specialized training might look like?
Yeah, through the Center for Inclusive Child Care, certainly they could contact us and we would have a discussion with them about what kinds of things might be covered under the individualized rate.
Okay, perfect. And so we've been talking about children with special needs or children with disabilities. Is there a special definition of children with special needs in this CCAP system or this special needs rate system that child care providers need to be aware of?
Yeah, It is fairly broad, but for the purposes of the child care assistance special needs rate, for the individual children's rate, a special need or disability is when there's a functional limitation or health condition that interferes with a child's ability to walk, talk, see, hear, breathe, or learn. So it's really what's covered under the ADA.
Okay, and the ADA is the
Americans with Disabilities Act.
Right.
And special needs may be any special medical, developmental, or atypical behavior or condition requiring additional support measures to help the child successfully grow and develop to his or her full potential. And that's really targeted to that individualized special and differential rate that they may get. That's the at-risk rate category is a whole different description, because that would be more programmatic and some family situations involved in that too.
So could you give us some examples of a child with a special need people might be thinking about as they're listening?
It's extremely broad as far as what could be covered under this, and it really, the key is not necessarily what the diagnosis is. It has more to do with what the program structure is and any accommodations and modifications that might need to be provided. So, for instance, if you've got a child with special needs who has increased need for feeding or toileting, mobility, some sensory components, might require additional staff, the provider may require additional training. Any of those kinds of things are the kinds of things that this is intended for.
Okay. Is it possible that one program might be based on their staff or based on their setting might not necessarily require a special needs rate, and another setting might require a special needs rate based on their staff or their setting?
It would be possible to have that, you know, and it really depends on how they specialize their services and what other kinds of supports and what their staff to child ratios are. You know, some center-based versus family child care may have more success than others based on group size and some of the supports that they have available to them. Some kids do better in small settings. Some kids do better with, you know, more larger settings. So it really does depend on the child and the program as far as what the needs might be.
Great. So what you're saying is the special needs rate and the way that you would look at, or the way that the county and the state would define or look at a child with special needs, is very individualized.
Definitely.
Great. I think that really helps our listeners to, you know, understand kids they're caring for and whether or not, if they're in the subsidy program, they would qualify for this special needs rate. Would you say that would be the case?
Yes.
Thank you, Lori. Great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about how somebody actually requests a differential rate for a child that they might be working with or caring for. So sort of that whole process.
Sure. A special needs rate may be requested for an individual child if there are increased costs related to necessary accommodations and modifications needed for the child. The provider does need to comply with with Disabilities Act or the ADA, and that's really an individual type judgment that a provider has to make when they are going above and beyond expected services. And for more information about that, there are other resources to consult about complying with the ADA. So a provider does need to assure that the rate is being sought that would be charged for similar services if a child with a disability who was not on CCAP required those types of services.
Also, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not about a child being on subsidy, but it's really about the child having a disability and what the accommodations would be. If the child's on subsidy, then they can request the special needs rate, but it's really about the accommodations the child needs in the setting.
Correct. And the ADA looks at whether or not a program is doing more than is traditionally expected, and if they are costs above and beyond what can be reasonably accommodated within a program. So that really does depend on the individual situation and what the actual costs are that are incurred due to needing to care for a special needs child.
And under the ADA, isn't it true that some programs, for instance, maybe a national chain with a larger budget, might necessarily be required to make some accommodations themselves, whereas a smaller program with a smaller budget might need more assistance based on their bottom line?
That's correct.
Excellent. Well, this is very helpful, I'm sure, to people who are listening.
Let me continue on the rates piece,
sure.
Then. Rates should offset costs that are increased from a typical situation of care due to that child's needs, and a rate calculation might include training related to the child's diagnosis or needs, specialized equipment or supply needs that the provider needs to purchase, increased need for adult child supervision, or environmental modifications. And it's really up to the provider to estimate what those increased costs are and detail that in the required documentation that goes along with the application. And the request could be short-term or long-term, depending on what those costs are. And the provider can think about ways of how to incorporate those costs into their rate.
Oh, excellent. That's very clear, I think, and helpful to people. And again, we'll have this information in our info module as well, so people can also go through it and read, too, so it's helpful to them. So you talked about documentation. What kind of documentation is needed when you're going to submit this request for this differential rate?
Sure. Documentation is required to process a request, and this may include a child's special education assessment or educational plan, known as an IEP or IFSP, a report from a mental health professional or any medical documentation, a letter from a county social worker, and any service referrals or other professional sources that document specifically what the child's diagnosis is. And it's also helpful to have something that requires what adults need to do with that child and for that child, that kind of outlines what's the correspondence between the child's special need and what the adult in the program or provider is doing to accommodate that need.
So it's more than just a child having an assessed disability. The provider also has to be able to indicate why that assessed disability requires some kind of accommodation in their program. So the disability doesn't necessarily bring along with it a needed accommodations always.
Correct.
But sometimes it might, and that's the reason for the special needs rate.
Correct. Which brings us to our next point, which is the process to submit the request.
Uh-huh.
Is that the provider or parent can request forms from a county worker, or they are accessible on the DHS website. And basically, the parent and provider partner together to complete the form. And the form includes questions about what the provider is expected to do for the child, and specifically things like the things Chris mentioned. What are the physical needs of the child? What are the adult-to-child, maybe one-to-one kind of interactions that need to happen? What training is required? So there's some specific questions that hopefully make it easy for a provider and parent to explain exactly what is different and what's being offered specifically for the child. And once the paperwork is completed, along with the documentation, it's submitted to the county or the agency that has approved the CCAP payment. And then it's reviewed by the county staff and then state agency staff. And that normally takes 2 to 4 weeks to happen. When the process is completed, the county or agency worker notifies both the provider and the parent about the approval or denial, or if more information is needed, and then the rate gets managed through the family's CCAP authorizing agency. So if it's approved, then you'd find that out, and then a new authorization comes out with a specific approved special needs rate.
Great. And I think we've probably said this, but I don't think it hurts to say it again. The family already needs to be in the child care subsidy program in Minnesota.
Correct. Exactly. They could be brand new to the program, but they do have to have an approved case for CCAP eligibility before this rate can be requested.
Do you think every family knows that there's a special needs rate that might be available to their child care provider?
No, I don't think they do. So hopefully the county worker can answer questions for families quickly, but there isn't anything specific on the CCAP application itself. that asks about special needs. So a family does need to know to ask for it.
Great. Well, we'll hope that this will help also as we're broadcasting that more people will, you know, possibly if they don't know that that's one more sort of tool to help their child care provider be more successful.
Correct.
That this could be another a way for them to help with the inclusion. So let's say they go through the whole process, the child care provider goes through the whole process, fills out the paperwork, it goes through the county and so forth, and it's approved. How long usually is the special needs rate approved for?
Well, unless it's a specific short-term request, which sometimes does occur, if it's a regular sort of ongoing request for an increased rate, they are approved for a 12-month period.
Okay.
And a provider does need to reinitiate a rate request about 2 to 3 months prior, just to be safe and to have it smoothly be processed. Once the rate is approved or reapproved, it does go back to the date of the request, but counties work to notify providers in advance, but the provider should just also note that it is limited to 12 months, and so it's wise to ask for or fill out the paperwork again 2 to 3 months in advance if possible.
And a child's needs would certainly be changing as they grow.
Yeah, the assumption is that child's needs change and provider accommodations change, and so that is why we ask that things be restated so that we know what the needs of the child are as they change.
Could you give an example of what might be a short-term need that someone might request the special needs rate for?
Sure. We approved one where a provider simply asked for the costs of additional training and then some, I think, equipment or purchases that had to do with meeting that child's needs. So I think in this case, the provider was requesting training to learn how to work with a child that had some dietary issues and maybe a feeding tube. I can't remember the exact equipment or things that needed to be accommodated, but that provider did take some training, spent some time outside of her child care program, so I believe she hired a substitute, and she kind of calculated out what the costs were, and then that was probably reimbursed over a 3 or 4 month period of time, and that's all that provider needed to accommodate that child's need.
That is really nice to know, and I think, again, that's great information for those who are listening, that that's also a tool for inclusion, that they may just be able, there may be a short-term need, not necessarily a long-term need, but something that they may need to know for a short period of time that will help them be more successful. So I think that's really great information. So what do you think? What else does a provider, a child care provider, or a parent maybe also need to know about this in this whole process of applying for the special needs rate or the at-risk rate?
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind within this approval process, there might be recommendations that are given to the provider and possibly the parent, too, to support the long-term viability of caring for the child with special needs in that child care program. So it can be things such as training for the provider that will support the child's inclusion, referral for additional services, and supporting the parent or the provider in accessing, you know, have they accessed their public school services? Have they gone through screening? Does the child need an assessment above and beyond what's been provided? So as the documentation is reviewed, we're looking at all of those different pieces and trying to come up with, are there any other resources that are out there for this child or this family or the provider even? And we may also recommend some inclusion consultation, which, for instance, the Center for Inclusive Child Care provides this throughout the state as well. So we might recommend some additional technical assistance to assure that the child and the provider are both successful in this program.
Excellent. Are there other funding sources that could also assist a child care provider working with a child with special needs?
That's one of the things I think that the Center for Inclusive Child Care can always help with. So I think as a provider contacts us directly, we would just walk through the scenario and the information about the child and the provider and see if there are other resources that might be available to them. For instance, especially the younger children in the Birth to Three program, sometimes the school district staff are the ones that will go out and support the provider directly in caring for that child with special needs in their program, because because of their home-based model,
okay.
which can be a nice way to provide that support. And sometimes they might have some resources, such as equipment, they can borrow the provider as well.
Fantastic. Well, this has been fascinating, and I think probably our listeners have really gotten some great new information. I think maybe as our final question, I'd like to ask both of you if there are some additional places that people can find more information or resources about the Child Care Assistance Program and the Special Needs Rate System in Minnesota.
The Center for Inclusive Child Care website, the www.inclusivechildcare.org, we will have the info module and links directly to the DHS website with the forms and some additional information, as well as there is a tip sheet that is posted within the info module and on the CICC website. Certainly you can go directly to the DHS website and the Child Care Assistance Program information there, and there's a manual if you want to weed through that. That certainly has all the high detail that you can access, and the Minnesota Child Care Resource and Referral website at mnchildcare.org also will have some information as well.
Great. Well, thank you, Lori and Chris. This has been so enlightening and great information. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close?
Thank you. I would just encourage providers to, you know, call somebody at or contact somebody at Center for Inclusive Child Care and their county, because the county can walk you through just the detailed process, and Center for Inclusive Child Care is available to offer tips and assistance.
Well, I appreciate having you both here very much, and this will be helpful to everyone listening. Thanks again.
Thank you.
That's all for now. See you next time.